Our next case this morning is number 06-2835, Tariff against the Attorney General. Mr. Salah.
Good morning. My name is Abdullah Salah. May it please the Court. I represent Ahmed Tariff and in his action with the Immigration Service. He filed an action. We are appealing the Board of Immigration Appeals decision, which summarily affirmed the decision of the immigration judge at the administrative level. And Mr. Tariff was seeking asylum. He was seeking withholding of removal. And again, he was seeking Convention Against Torture relief. The two forms of relief which we are appealing would be the withholding of removal and the Convention Against Torture relief, which were both denied. The asylum is statutorily barred from being reviewed at this level at the Court of Appeals. So even though it is addressed in appellee's brief, it's not before the court at this time. We are also one other issue that has come up a couple of times is that whether the filing was filed timely. And it's pretty clear that it was filed timely. The court had two 4th of July holiday dates that caused the court to be closed, and the filing occurred the next morning, and that was the 30th day, and that for that reason it was timely filed. The substance of the appeal is that Mr. Tariff is in the United States in order as a person who was fleeing from Lebanon. He was pursued by Hezbollah, which is recognized as a terrorist organization that has pretty much encompassed Lebanon. And the main point that we have here is that the immigration court judge did not properly utilize the standard of review. He misapplied it in that he looked at two inconsistencies in the testimony by the respondent at the immigration level, the appellant here. One was that he was inconsistent in the time that he was incarcerated, and another the location in which he was seized. One time he said that he was 3 days, another in his testimony he stated that he was 30 days incarcerated and that he was also tortured, and in his application he did not mention that he was tortured. However, utilizing the substantial evidence standard, you'd have to look at the testimony as a whole, and looking at the testimony as a whole, there were various incidents over a number of years in which Mr. Tariff was pursued and threatened, and all of these amount to substantial evidence. And what the court needed to recognize or determine was whether it was more likely than not that Mr. Tariff would be subject to persecution. And the court used those two inconsistencies in an isolated manner rather than looking at the testimony as a whole and determined that he was not credible. However,
he made a lot of trips back to Lebanon, didn't he?
Yes, he did take several trips back to Lebanon, and those trips were understood to be he was basically in hiding. He did not go back to his home. He went back to different sections of Lebanon at that time. And at that time, Hezbollah was not as prevalent as it is today. And for that reason, he was able to hide in certain locations. And one of the reliefs that were sought is that with withholding is that he is in fear of future persecution. So if there is a well-founded fear that there's future persecution, then he should be granted the relief. And at that time, maybe he could have gone back to the country and stayed in certain areas, but at this time, it is, since Hezbollah is everywhere in Lebanon, there is well-founded fear, and it is more likely than not that he would be found anywhere in the country, or likely to be found, more likely than not found in the country and persecuted. Another point in the appeal is the Convention Against Torture, which was not reviewed at all by the court, by the immigration court. What they did was just basically say, and there was one sentence that just said that the immigration judge, utilizing the same standard, is denying convention against torture, did not review or consider at all whether or not torture would actually occur to the to Mr. Toraf. All that was stated was that that the judge will be using the same standard, but this is a totally different form of relief that is being sought, and no analysis was made as to why it was denied, other than saying it's the same standard, but however, it should be a different standard utilized in order to make determination against for convention against torture.
Well, the standard for convention against torture is a higher standard, isn't it?
However, there should be a review as to whether or not he would be tortured. When you're looking at...
Well, certainly torture would get around the future persecution, too.
The main difference with persecution and torture is that with the torture, it does not state which types of... The reasons why the torture would have occurred. With the persecution, it would be one of the enumerated reasons, which in our situation would be political opinion or social status. He is a Shia in Lebanon, and he was living in South Lebanon. However, the Hezbollah is Shia as well, and he was not cooperating with them. So they viewed him as someone who was possibly working with the Israelis at time. At that time, the Israelis had been occupying Lebanon, and they viewed that his consistent travels and his uncooperative status as being somewhat a reason why they think he might be someone that they should be able to recruit, and his lack of willingness to be recruited was a reason why they would continue to torture him. And there were several incidences that were mentioned in the brief, such as that his brother was killed, he was shot, he had a nephew that was later killed, and he had other incidents as well. I'll reserve my time then for rebuttal.
Thank you, Mr. Sala. We'll hear now from Mr. Zeitlin.
Good morning, Your Honors. May it please the Court, my name is Benjamin Zeitlin on behalf of the respondent, the Attorney General of the United States. This petition for review should be denied because the immigration judge offered specific and cogent reasons for finding that the petitioner lacked credibility.
So your jurisdictional argument, you're abandoning that, aren't you, given what the court's order was closing court on July 3rd and 4th?
Given the circumstances that if the court was closed on July 3rd and 4th, then we would withdraw that jurisdictional argument. If
right, and you didn't have an opportunity to check the record, I take it, because there is an order that was entered June 7th. Indicating that the district court and the court of appeals were closed for business on the 3rd and 4th, and that any matters that had been set for the 3rd were continued to the 5th.
Your Honor, the record I received was a summary order that did not go into an explanation of whether or not the court was closed on July 3rd or 4th. On July 3rd, the order I reviewed simply stated that our motion to dismiss was denied, but I did not review an explanation.
Okay, because there is an actual order that says court will be closed on Monday the 3rd and Tuesday the 4th, and it was entered June 27th. So that being the case, that's out the door.
Correct. The government will withdraw the jurisdictional argument.
All right.
Going back to the credibility argument, the immigration judge's decision was adopted and affirmed by the Board of Immigration Appeals and identified material inconsistencies which went to the heart of petitioner's claim. As these internal inconsistencies between petitioner's testimony and his application provided substantial evidence for the agency's finding, this court should not be compelled to find otherwise.
Well, did the IJ discuss Tariff's explanation for the discrepancy between his application and his testimony, that is, his limited command of English, which is apparent when you review the application, and the fact that someone else filled out his application? Was that discussed?
Your Honor, that is not in the immigration judge's opinion.
And did the IJ discuss the letter from Tariff's brother or the State Department report that would have corroborated him? That wasn't
not
discussed either, was
that
it?
That is not within the opinion, in the immigration judge's opinion. But in reviewing the letter from Tariff's brother, The letter states that does not state that Taraf was incarcerated for a period of 1 month, as he claimed during his testimony. The letter from his brother specifically states that he was held only for a period of 3 days. The letter by Taraf also mentioned in his reply brief that part of the reason for his discrepancies between his testimony was his lack of command of the English language. However, looking at his affidavit in support of his asylum application, it's actually written in English. He was also assisted by counsel at the time he drafted his affidavit and swore to the contents of it. Although the affidavit is not grammatically correct, it does not say that Taraf was not somewhat competent in the English language and should at least have been able to understand the difference between a 3-day period of incarceration and a 1-month period of incarceration.
But the IJ didn't discuss the explanation for the discrepancy, did he?
That is correct, Your Honor. That is not within the immigration judge's opinion.
Right. And then on this other, one of the other reasons that he gave was why would Ebola take Tariff to the hospital after shooting him? But isn't this a situation where they wanted to recruit him to come and work for them? Why is that implausible?
Well, the Supreme Court in Elias Zacharias held that recruitment does not establish persecution. Simply, and the immigration judge also went through a number of cases that this circuit has held stating that a 3-day imprisonment may not rise to the level of persecution. Although the INA does not explicitly define what persecution is, case law has held that similar situations, similar to what this petitioner claimed, did not rise to that level.
Well, the whole issue of both of his family members being shot to death, we've recently held that death threats plus the murder of a family member is persecution.
Respectfully, Your Honor, the immigration judge based his decision in this instance on credibility grounds. The persecution grounds were an alternative finding. The immigration judge, however, need only articulate one basis for supporting his claim, and substantial evidence certainly supports the credibility finding. There were a number of material inconsistencies between Taraf's testimony and the documentation submitted on his behalf. Additionally, as Your Honor pointed out, Taraf made approximately 8 return trips to Lebanon after he claimed that his persecution initially began, or his fear initially began, in 1990 following the alleged murder of his brother. Taraf's testimony revealed that he went to the Ivory Coast and then returned to Lebanon approximately 8 occasions, and one of the occasions was simply because of a political change in the Ivory Coast, simply because the economy had turned for the worse. It doesn't seem that if he had such a fear of persecution that because the economy went sour in the Ivory Coast that he would then return to Lebanon, where he essentially feared for his life.
But when he returned, he usually hid out with friends and he moved from place to place to avoid detection. And several times he was compelled to return. I appreciate that one time you said because of change of the economy, but the other times were his mother's illness or the toppling of the Ivory Coast government. He was caught twice and he was badly treated when he returned. Isn't that right?
Respectfully, Your Honor, the instances in which Taraf states that he returned to the Ivory Coast, one was on account of an engagement, the other was on account of marriage. 3 accounts appear to be on account of his own of alleged fevers or headaches. It seems that there would have been places to seek treatment in the Ivory Coast or other places aside from returning to Lebanon if the fear in which he allegedly had was so great in returning to Lebanon. Additionally, the circumstances surrounding his return to Lebanon and his claims of hiding throughout the country have been basically disputed by his own testimony and through his documentation. In his documentation supporting his application, he stated that he was captured by Hezbollah while he was at his friend's house. This is in contradiction to his testimony before the immigration judge, in where he said he was at his parents' house. So it's hard to, the immigration judge should, was not compelled to find the to find that he was, that he had a fear, because even his testimony regarding where he was, that he was hiding throughout the country, is disputed by his own documentation in support of his claim, because we don't even know where he was. His testimony reveals maybe he was at his parents' house, maybe he was at a friend's house. Who knows? It's hard to speculate, but the testimony does not rise to the level where we would be sure where Mr. Taraf was while he was
now the asylum application. That's not where you're saying that he had the assistance of a lawyer. You're saying that was for purposes of the affidavit, correct?
Well, the affidavit was submitted in connection with his asylum application.
And that affidavit also had many grammatical errors, didn't it?
That is correct.
And and you're contending that the person who prepared it was a lawyer?
No, Your Honor, I'm not contending. The contention of the government is that the asylum application was prepared with the assistance of counsel. The attorney of record did not sign off on the specific affidavit. That was simply a letter by the petitioner. There's no...
The reason I ask is because that two-page type statement, which Tariff testified he didn't personally prepare because of his limited use of English, there are many, many misspellings, almost no punctuation, and it reads like, you know, it was prepared by someone who has very limited understanding of English. And so, you know, what I'm troubled by is that the court really doesn't address that in its decision, you know, and his explanation that I'm just concerned that the IJ doesn't discuss his explanation for why there are these discrepancies, and this is clearly a very poorly drafted document.
Your Honor, not being able to go into what the immigration judge thought, but a difference between stating 3 days and 1 month is a substantial difference.
Certainly, if one can review it and understand it, you would hope one would pick that up. That's not necessarily true.
Well, Your Honor, respectfully, in review, the documentation, the affidavit, went into specific details about the circumstances in Lebanon. The supplementing the affidavit was also a letter from his brother, which also mentioned the 3 day confinement period. Nothing in the evidence reveals the 1 month record, the 1 month confinement, until he testified in court, and the immigration judge specifically found that Taraf was embellishing his claim. I mean, that seems to be a draft, and additionally adding the facts of torture, which were not before the immigration judge, seems another factor in supporting the immigration judge's decision. I see that my time is up. Therefore, if there are any further questions, I have concluded my argument.
Thank you, Mr. Seidel.
Thank you.
How much time does counsel have? 3 minutes, sir.
With regard to the statement that was made in his affidavit, alleged affidavit here, it was not prepared by him. He stated that in his testimony. And with regard to other inconsistencies that were explained, none of those were contradicted, or no evidence was presented by the government to discredit my client. He presented his testimony, and the judge made his decision. But no witnesses came on behalf of the government. No one else was there to testify anything that would discredit the explanations given by Mr. Taraf. Also, here what we're looking for is that it was more likely than not that he would be persecuted. That's the standard. And given that the severity of the treatment that he's received while going back to Lebanon, when he was eventually found on the couple of occasions, I think it is more likely than not, and given the situation now, that with regard to Hezbollah, that it is more likely than not. But the immigration judge relied simply on two inconsistencies and did not look into much of the other evidence, and did not look at it as a whole. Also, he was requesting corroborative evidence. But in situations like this, where Hezbollah is the one that is out to get him, and they're the ones who took him to the hospital, I doubt that it'd be likely that he can go to that same hospital or go to Hezbollah or go to anybody and ask for any kind of written documentation. It just would be impossible. And corroborative evidence is not always required in order to rule in favor of the applicant in this situation.
You imply that the conditions have changed. We don't need to imply it. They changed considerably since this all occurred. Does that matter?
It was part of the appeal, but I could not bring that up in this appeal, right, as far as the asylum is concerned. But as far as withholding of removal or convention against torture, I'm not referring to how things have changed today, but how they have changed at the time of his trial and at the time of the application between those two times. Thank you,
Mr. Sala. Indeed, our thanks to both counsel, and the case will be taken under advisement.